It's a tremendous privilege to be able to welcome Peter and Abigail back with us. For those of you who don't know, actually, how many people here remember Peter and Abigail? It's all the old ones, right. Because it's about 10 years since Peter returned to Ghana, and we have quite a, you know, an interesting relationship, getting to know one another. Some of us have been to Ghana two or three times, and it's a tremendous country. The gospel is very powerfully preached in that nation. And Peter is now the rector of the Pentecost University College, where he is responsible for up to 3,000 students. So for all of you who are students, this is what happens if you go to the Pentecost University College. Basically, Peter declared a one-week fast. Was it a one-week fast? In October. So you begin your academic year by not eating. Wonderful. That then leads to an outreach campaign, which I think you've just finished, where they saw nearly 100 students make decisions for Jesus. And Peter is very much behind this incredible move of God in that nation. So now I would love to invite Abigail to come and preach. Oh, all right then, Peter, you'll do. You'll do. Oh, this is good. For those of you who do remember Peter, you realize that, you know, from those 10 years ago, one of us has never changed. Unfortunately, it's not me.
Thank you very much. Praise God. After 10 years, I thought that I would come and find some hair on Alan's head. Yes. Praise God. Bring you greetings from Ghana, and we're delighted to be here. We're in our 11th year since we left Durham, and I remember when I was living in 2000, Emmanuel Church prayed for me and sent me, and time will not permit me to give you the full report, 10-year report. But I want to thank God for Emmanuel Church. And I don't think, we believe strongly that our destiny is bound here with this church also. Because when we came in 1996 and we wanted a church, we found some big cathedrals and big churches, but we knew what the Lord wanted us to do. And so I found a notice on one of the boards that graduate students meeting, Christian graduate students meeting in Parsons Field. So we went there and we told them, after the meeting, we told them, a few people, we have come from Ghana, we want to worship. So the leader said, all right, everybody introduce your church. Well, they introduced, I'm from Methodist, I'm from this. And then this lady stood up and said, I'm from Emmanuel Church. We are free, we free worship in spirit, we speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is working. And so I looked at my wife's face and said, I think that is where I think we are. Amen. So immediately after the meeting, we went to her and we asked her to locate for us the Emmanuel Church. So she did. So Sunday morning, that day, we tried hard after some few difficulties. We were able to locate the sixth form center. And we were there. And the song they were singing that time when we entered was, what a faithful God have I. What a... That's one, yes. What a faithful God have I. Faithful in all his ways. And since then, we have had a very great relationship, as Alan has said. And we're very happy what the Lord has done. When I was being prayed for in 2000, I remember a lady came to sing a song, a prophetic song that she said he had, and other prophetic messages. And I've seen all these things fulfilled, one after the other, here in Emmanuel Church, as Alan prayed and his church prayed and sent me back to Ghana. And I remember when I went, started teaching in the university in Kumasi, I was trying to get people together to pray and seek the face of God. So every Friday night, we had an all night. We started with three people, started growing. And we prayed throughout the night, seeking God's face, praying for revival in the nations, praying for Emmanuel Church. And one of the Lord revealed to me on two occasions about Emmanuel. And one of the occasions, the whole place was on fire. Emmanuel was burning. And I remember sending an email to Alan. If I'm privileged, I have one email a year from Alan. And that is a great, it's great to hear from. I know he's very busy, but I thank God that he does reply emails once a year. And I told him, so when I came, there was this structure here, and then I came with Andrew, we prayed here, and then we left to come back and to see this. I said, wow, this is fantastic. This glorifies God. And I'm so happy. I'm overjoyed for what God is doing in Emmanuel Church. God has brought us this far by faith, by his grace, by his favor. And we are here blessing the name of the Lord. So we are very happy together. And I want to bring a short word of God, as time will not permit me to tell you everything. But in this university, I was just called from Kumasi to lead this university, Christian University. And I tell the students, you chose to be here. Nobody forced you to be here. And here the Holy Ghost is in charge. Amen? So you better go back and tell the National Accreditation Board that the Spirit of God is in charge in this school. So we declare 1 week of prayer festival, prayer and fasting every October when students come, new students come. And it has been tremendous. And then 2 weeks ago, we had our Mission 2011, which is evangelistic. The whole week declared for everybody. And the Lord was so gracious to us. The theme was truth. And God came in. And as I said, about 100 students gave their lives to Christ. And there is maturity classes and new converts classes every week, headed by a staff. And God is doing many things. But this morning, the very short time that we have here, the Lord is impressing upon my heart that as we come over here together as a family, as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom I believe you know that we have the answer to this world. Jesus is the answer to all the longings of this world. The world is very hostile. It has, even at the birth of Jesus Christ, they wanted to kill him, destroy him. But God preserved him. Of course, God took him to Africa, you know, to preserve him. So in Africa, we do preserve. Amen. So certainly, the world is hostile to our Christ. And it will never, you know, love him. To never come and say, oh, Christians, this is... You realize that? It is only Christians. It is only the name of Jesus. You can mention any other name. They will give preference on the media all over the world, to on televisions and other, to any other name. But the name of Jesus Christ, say no. It's private. You can go here. You can come here because you wear him, Jesus. So he is the answer. And we have him by grace. It's grace. Because time will not permit you to tell my story. I come from a very typical fetish family. When I was a young boy, my uncle was a fetish priest. There was no way I'll be standing here holding the Bible. There was no way I could do that. Because I saw everything in my family. But somehow, God in his wisdom took my father And then he came to marry my mother in the same village. And here I am. And through the ministry of William Booth. William Booth's ministry, that is the soldiers of the cross. Salvation Army. He got saved. He got saved. And the Spirit of God began to work in that family. And you know, we have a very extended family. And we inherit matrilineally. So in so far as inheritance was concerned, I was going to inherit a very big fetish. And I was going to be, because I was the firstborn of my mother's children, so I was going to be the fetish priest. And Jesus took me. He saved me. Changed my destiny. Changed my name. Say, I am the child of God. I am. And I know what it means. Well, therefore, what do I have to do? To share the Lord with all my heart. And to proclaim to the world, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is alive. He is the answer to everything. So, brothers and sisters in Emmanuel Church, we hold the key to the joy and the peace and the power of this world. It is in our hands. It is not in the hands of the politicians. It's not in the hands of the media. It is not in the hands of any powerful group of people who think they are rich. It is in the hands of those people who have believed in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We hold the key. We hold the key. And so God's word to us today is that because we hold the key, we don't have to keep quiet. We don't have to. I have never seen it in scripture from Genesis up to Revelation. People who had the truth and began to open their mouth and began to proclaim the truth, they always triumphed. It is only when we keep quiet and stay in our rooms, only when we keep quiet and even come to church and go back quietly, that the world, the systems of the world will prevail. But when we open our mouth and begin to declare in our schools, in our workplace, wherever you find yourself, declare. Declare. And so God's word to us today is in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7 and 8. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 7 and 8, paraphrase means that as soon as Zion travailed, she gave birth. God has brought Emmanuel Church too far to leave us. He can't leave us. But he has brought us here for a purpose. If you are here and you are continuing this beautiful edifice over here, it is for a purpose. And God is saying that as soon as Zion travailed, he gave birth. He gave birth. He gave birth. In every generation, in our generation, we see the things that are happening. Indifference, antichrist activities, many terrible things, and people have lost hope. There is a sense of hopelessness all over the world because they can't find answers, but they can't humble themselves to come to the God of creation. They don't even believe him. They don't believe him. Oh, many terrible things are happening all over the world. Technology is making some things easier for us. But it's not making the world a better place to live. Because we are afraid of each other. Every time you listen to the news, I think it's even better to close your ears and eyes to the news than to open them. Because they are not telling us any good thing. It's only terrible things that are happening all over the world. Murder, here and there, terrible things are happening. Are happening. All these things are happening. But brothers and sisters, we are in the end times. We are in the end times. Jesus is coming very soon. And that is why he's having a group of people. He's getting a people in each generation, in each period. He has a people who come together like we have come together. Who are thirsty and who hunger for him. Not just hunger to enjoy themselves, the peace and the joy and the worship over here. But there are people outside there. There are so many people outside there. Hopelessness all over the world. As we sit over here with the joy and singing to the praise and glory of God, there is somebody out there who is contemplating suicide. There is somebody out there who is thinking about how to destroy somebody. There are so many terrible things happening. There are people over there now, as we sit here, now enjoying life in Jesus Christ. There are people over there who are also contemplating even divorce. Don't care about the children. And that's what the devil is interested in. So he will get the children and continue to perpetuate the terrible things that he's doing. Many things are happening. And we hold the key. As soon as Zion travailed, he prevailed. He gave birth. He gave birth. He gave birth. So I pray that the Spirit of the living God will lead us to understand what God is telling us is just to move away from any form of apathy and complacency and maintaining the status quo in our lives, in our Christian lives, and move on to something higher. A call to radical Christianity. A call to being a little militant, just a little. Just a little militancy in your life. Something very little. God is not calling for something big because it is His grace. It is His grace. Ours is just to respond. A little militancy. I remember in the 9/11 issue in the America, we're discussing this thing in Ghana in our university, and this lady who is a Muslim stood there in the discussion and said, do you have radical Christians? I've not heard about any radicalism amongst Christians doing such a thing. But in our part of the world, or in our system, we have such terrible things happening among these radicals. And he said, yes, we need them. I said, we need them. The answer then was no. We don't do such things. But God is calling us to a radical Christianity, radical holiness, radical prayer, and radical evangelism, truth and power of the Holy Ghost. That's what God is calling us to. And I believe God is calling Emmanuel Church, by the grace of God, where He's called us to, that will move out from our shells, from our complacency, from our apathy. Apathy will not help. Let's come together and lift up our voice to God and travail. Because the moment we travail, we will give birth to something spiritual. Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. That's what God is calling you. So right now, today, this morning, allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Where are you in your Christian life? Where are you in this spiritual journey? Where are you? Where are you? I read John Wesley, and he said, the problem doesn't lie here or there. Get me, a man or woman, who fears nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. And I care not a straw. I care not a straw. Whether they be clergymen or laymen. And such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. This is what God is calling us to. Don't let us shake this great responsibility upon us. Because brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to understand that we live in a temporary world. We wear temporary clothes. The car you are driving is temporary. The home you live is a temporary home. We have a better place to go. We are just transiting. And that is the reason why God is calling us. Because this world is not your home. It's not our home. We need to rescue people into the kingdom of God, which is our home. Heaven is our home. That is where we are moving to. If all that this world has is here, this year, then what a hopeless place. But God needs to open your spiritual understanding to know that we live in a temporary world. Temporary. Everything here is temporary. So Jesus is calling us to a time of radical Christianity and radical prayer in our lives. In these end times, to pray with all our hearts and to seek the face of God, because it's coming very soon. It is time for us to lift up our voice to God, to travail in prayer. A call to prayer, brothers and sisters. It is only prayer, not births.
He said, in the natural, that's why Jesus said that. During the time of pregnancy and birth, the woman goes through sorrow. But the moment the child is born, all the sorrow is forgotten. So he said, the moment Zion travailed, he gave birth. He gave birth. It is a very important thing that it is a natural thing. That in naturally, the baby is in the womb for 9 months. And then, one day, the baby decides to come to this world. And you have to send the lady to the hospital. And all those things happen. At that time, you don't talk to the woman anyhow. Because what is going on that time, that travailing period, is a period that you don't, you know, if you are a man, you try hard. You try hard. But the pain is with the woman. And she's birthing something. She's birthing a human being. Maybe birthing the president of the prime minister of this country, birthing a great man of God on this planet Earth. So it's travailing, going through excruciating pain. My mother had a very terrible, as I grew up, I asked myself, why did you decide to give eight birth to 8 children with this difficult pregnancy? From A to Z, it was terrible. The 7th birth, they were twins, and she collapsed. My father was somewhere planting churches, and we were there alone. And from that village, you see, from that village where we were to the nearest hospital was about 80 miles. And you have a car going there once a week. And there she was. So when it came to the time for me to marry, I decided I was going to give birth to only one or two. Based upon what my mother, you know, went through. So if an African man decides to give birth to one or two, then you know what, he has seen something. So I married. And interestingly, the woman I married said, I want 12 children. Doesn't. So even if we took the average, I would not be anywhere near. She wanted 12. I'm the firstborn of 8 children, 4 boys, 4 girls. Like, we don't need more. We need only one. She said 12. How do we manage that? And she was a nurse. So I told her, what? This is, I don't think sure this is going to be a disgrace to your profession. She said, no. It's just pacing. I said, all right. But what I'm saying is that it was a difficult time. Difficult times. Many things changes in the life of the woman. Birth pains are the most difficult times. You don't talk to her anyhow. One of our brothers struggling and left this woman in my hands to take her to the hospital because he has to go by all means. The time came. The woman was in labor. I drove to the place. I took all her things into my car, brought her outside. I opened the car and the woman was standing there. In fact, she sat down. She was a nurse. She sat down. I'm trying to please, sister, this the car is. She sat down. So I had to be quiet and watched. I watched her for some time. Quiet, she was very quiet, absolutely quiet, not talking to anybody. So we stood there, were 2 of us. And then I'm telling you the truth. This, we didn't, as if somebody has blown a whistle. She just rose up, dashed into the car, closed it. We raid the hospital, the same thing. I took all the things to the escalator, and she sat in the car. I opened it. The man at the escalator has opened it. This lift is there. Come on. Quiet. Something is going inside her that you don't see with the eyes. There is some pain happening somewhere that you don't see, that you don't feel it. You may try hard as a man to be in it, but you can't. She understands. As soon as Zion traveled, she gave birth. God is calling us There is a travailing that we need to understand, move away into a radical movement. The church is not a place for people to come and cry. It's a place for tears to be wiped out. It's a place for people to be healed. The power of God to be manifested so that we go outside the world and the world will know that yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is still the same. He hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. We have changed because we don't want anybody to intrude into our personal protocols. This is how I am. This is how I was brought forth. I don't do this, I don't do that. And so this is how I am. But Jesus is calling us this day, Emmanuel Church, move out of yourselves. There is something for us to accomplish. Do you know that in one of the Stone Lake conferences that I attended, there was a prophecy, and the prophecy named Durham. I don't know whether you remember. Is it 99? 98, one of them said, God is going to move in the north over here, in the northeast over here. And he mentioned specifically Durham as part of it. And so we are in the destiny of God. We are moving in the destiny of God. We are in it. But we have to bring ourselves together and begin to travail. Get on our knees and begin to battle and say, God, come into our situations. God, come and move by your mighty hand and power in the name of Jesus. And God will begin to move. If we keep quiet, nothing will happen. If you keep quiet, nothing will happen. Because when the time comes for the woman to push for the baby to come, and the woman doesn't push, it is not just only the woman, but the baby inside can be lost. It is time. God is calling people to push. God is calling people to arise into radical Christianity. Yes. Be a little militant, says the Lord. Students over here, adults over here, working class over here, just a little militancy from the Holy Spirit. Rise up to travail. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, begin to travail. Begin to call on the name of the Lord in twos and threes and in groups, that the Holy Spirit of God will come into our situation and do what God has decided to do in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because brothers and sisters, you can't change anything you tolerate. You tolerate something, you like it. You want to be in your comfort zone. You want to be in your comfort zone. There is no crying for the those who are lost. It is only myself, me, myself, and I. And I don't care about any other person. It is me. No, that is not scripture. That is not what the word of God is saying. You need to cry over the erring one. You need, sometimes when you hear the news, you need to bow down and you need to kneel down and say, God, come into our situation. Come from above and do what you've prepared to do, so that fresh oil will pour down. If we travail, fresh fire will come from above. Emmanuel will burn. Hallelujah. The glory of God will come down. Fresh fire, fresh oil will fall upon your life. Because there are people who have the gift of evangelism, people who have the gift of healing and miracles and signs and wonders right over here. We can't gather as Christians over here in this number and you tell yourself nothing. No. They are here. It's embedded in some of us. But we need to bear them. We need to travail. We need to push a little so that the giftings of God will come. Yes. The answers to the world are here. Yes. You and I. You and I. Yes. We are the answers. Because there's a giftings of the Spirit of God inside you that is locked up. Because you want to remain where you are. There is some signs of miracles into your life that as you open your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, something happens, but you have kept quiet. Begin to travail. Let something well up in your spirits and begin to move in that direction. It is possible. It is a reality. And that's what God is bringing to his church. And I have the same thing. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you realize the Bible says that Penina had children. Hannah didn't have any. And the husband is trying to make sure that, Hannah, it doesn't matter. I'm worth more than 10 children. So why do you worry? Don't worry. They'll go to Shiloh and do all the various worshiping over there and come back every year. But one day, Hannah decided, no, I need children of my own. So after that, they went to Shiloh. He went, the Bible says he went, she went to the temple. She laid down, began to travail, agonizing prayer. Prayer that will bring heaven down to the extent that the prophet of God can say, Hannah, when are you going to stop drinking? How can you be boozed at this time? She said, man of God, prophet, I am not. There is something I'm birthing. I am in agony. I'm crying upon God. The Bible says he saw the lips of Hannah. Nothing was happening, but saw the lips of Hannah. Say, only a drunkard will be doing that. Let the lips. Something was wearing up inside her. Words were not even coming out. She was growing, groaning and groaning and groaning, calling on God. God, come into this situation. God, I need to have children in the same way, Lord God, give me children. The Bible says, the man of God said, may the Lord do it as unto you. After that, we had a Samuel. Samuel was not given to Hannah on silver platter. The giftings of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in you is not going to be given to you on silver platter. God has given you grace to respond. The grace to respond. It is not going to be given to you on silver platter. But God's grace upon your life to respond to it, and God will meet you right there. He will meet you. It's Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18 to 20. Said, give to you. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you lose will be loosed in heaven. Brothers and sisters, it's time. What the devil does is that at this time that God is calling us to radical Christianity, to go on our knees and begin to pray and see us birthing people into the kingdom, the same way that happens in the natural is the same way that happens in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. You need to birth people into the kingdom of God. You set somebody and begin to pray and fast for the person, and you see what God will begin to do in the same way. It happens in the same way. But you realize that this is a time that the devil pushes us into arguments because we do a lot of analysis in our heads. How long should we pray? Prayer is just a matter of, prayer. You don't need to pray long. You don't need to do what? And some you think, do I lie down to pray? Do I stand up to pray? Do I kneel down to pray? And all those things, the devil putting all this argument to waste our time and energy. Is it a time? Just pray. Stop the arguments and pray. Hallelujah. There is an advert that says, just do it. Yes. I've forgotten that advert, but it says, just do it. Just pray. Just rise up and pray. Okay. You don't need to. Jesus came to the garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says Jesus went a little further, lie down, and began to pray. He came to the disciples and they were asleep. So, but you couldn't even wait with me for 1 hour. So the minimum is 1 hour.
Praise the name of the Lord.
The minimum is 1 hour. That's what Jesus said. You couldn't wait with me for 1 hour. 1 hour in prayer to support me. You couldn't do that. So the minimum is 1 hour. Go on our knees. Let us travail. Travail. Do you know that we find time to do so many things but pray? Because the devil opposes prayer. The devil opposes prayer. He will let you do everything and anything but to pray.
When you have even the very little time and you kneel or you stand or whatever, you see that you are dozing up. It's hard. Prayer is hard. And especially when Alan decided that, the leadership decides that we're going to add fasting. That is dangerous.
Fasting, not eating, because God wants us to take our attention from all the things and the food and the rest and concentrate on him and begin to travail and birth greetings into the kingdom. Travail and birth people who are out there, sometimes you think that it is an impossibility. Try prayer. Prayer will break through all these things. Try prayer. Get together as a group and begin to pray. The Spirit of God will begin to energize you and you go out. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that. When Peter and John came and told the disciples, the Bible said they lifted up their voice. I like that. It's one of my favorite verses. The Bible says, and they lifted up their voices. They lifted up their voices in prayer. Lifted up voice, God! Look at the nations, they are raging. Why do they rage? Lift up your hands by your son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, everywhere, the place that they were praying began to do a shake. The Spirit of God filled them. And he gave them the power and boldness to declare the word of God. In chapter 5 of Acts of Apostles, many people came to Christ. 3,000, 5,000. And they came to Christ. Has God changed? Has he changed? We have. Because we don't lift up our voice. We lift up our voice when it's football time. When we are on the field. And Manchester United scores. Newcastle scores. When I was here, I was supporting Newcastle. Because I knew that Alan Shearer would give me the goals. And I would celebrate. We lift up our voice when our team scores. We're lifting up our voice to God, because somebody, a brother or sister, is going to hell, and I see that he's going to hell. Can I lift up my voice and begin to weep over him or her? My father, my mother, my friend in my school. Can I lift up my voice and travail and travail and travail? God, do something about my brother. Do something. How are you going to do it? I don't know. But all I know is that you are able, and I'm kneeling down here to call upon you. Travailing in prayer. Travailing in prayer. This is what God wants to give to us. God needs our cooperation to work. He has decided in his own sovereign will to wait for us before he acts. That is the interesting thing about God. He is God. You can't question him. He's decided that. I have to. You have to. All of us as Emmanuel Church have to go on our knees and call upon him. If you call me, I'll come. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me. And I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. You have to call first. And that is God's calling us. Jesus told the disciples, do not leave Jerusalem till you've been endued with power. And they went over there and waited 10 days. And the Holy Spirit came. And they moved on. These are people who didn't have any political connections, any economic connections. They were people who are not schooled. But they knew about prayer. They chose to travail. And the Bible says, the people who have been turning cities upside down have come here also. How did that happen? These people who don't have degrees, these people who don't know anything, they don't know systematic theology. All they know is Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That is the church of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Brothers and sisters, Jesus himself gave us an example. In the morning, Jesus will wake up and go. In Mark chapter 1 verse 35, early morning, wake up and begin to pray. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, he goes to the mountains and began to pray. In Matthew chapter 14 verse 23, he says he went to the mountains alone to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when it was very terrible times, he went there. And Jesus was teaching us that terrible times demand terrible prayer. Agonizing prayer. He taught us all this. He taught us. He gave us an example. God is calling us. We are more than 12 disciples. We are more than 120 disciples that met in the upper room. So we qualify. We more than qualify. Let us lift up our voice to God. The things in your personal life that has become a problem to you, and you think that this cannot be solved. God is saying that if you travail, it will disappear, and you come here and give glory to God. Amen. That is how you get testimonies. Yes, there was this young girl that has been taken to. Anytime she goes, she attends one of the best schools in our country. One of the best girls' schools in our country. When she comes home, she's okay. The moment she goes to school, she'll be collapsing. Everything, so many things. All the good hospitals, God the Father is a lawyer. Every best medical thing that they know, medical practitioners, they've gone there, done all the various tests in contemporary times, and they found nothing. Said, there is nothing wrong with your girl. For a very long time, I was not seeing him. So when I called him, said, this is the problem. My money is finished, everything is gone, and my daughter is still not well. So bring the daughter. Bring her. I called one elder. We met together in the night for 3 days. Every day we close from work, we go there and we met there. From 9 o'clock up to 12 midnight. I began to pray and rebuke that spirit that want that girl to destroy that girl. And there was manifestation of the powers and demons. I tell you, it was a sight. The power of God was strong to break and destroy. How can you stand Jesus' name? How can you? If the medical, ask for the medical people, they'll give name to every sickness that you take there. They have names for everything. It's good. They're doing research and other things. But some of the sicknesses are beyond them. They will tell you, we are managing it for you. But Jesus will not manage it. He will heal you. Took this girl for 3 days. We rebuked the devil and cast all these demons out. You know what? First she was entering the school. Now we asked the father to drive her to school. This time, the girl collapsed at the entrance. After all the prayer. It is easy for us to, if that is it, then we have stopped. The devil doesn't give up. He doesn't. So brought her back. Say, you, Satan, you are a liar. You lied from the beginning and you are still lying. Cast him out in the same name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Completely delivered. Completely delivered. The other option is to say, to adhere to what the doctors are saying. There's nothing wrong with her. So now, keep her at home. She can't go to school because that's what the devil wants. But brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you travel, even in your personal life, Jesus went outside alone. If you read the Bible, it tells us in Genesis that Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. And he wrestled, a man wrestled with him. It was when he was left alone. So sometimes you need to go alone and begin to wrestle with God and say, God, do something about my situation. I can't remain like this. You need to be very serious with your life. God says, travail. The moment Zion travailed, he gave birth. Give birth. Give birth, brothers and sisters. Spiritual birth. And power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what God wants to do in our lives. And so I pray that all of us together, and begin to do what God wants us to do. We are in the face of our church that needs that we lift up our voice to God and see the glory and the power of God manifested every day in our lives. Manifested. But we need to do that. May the Lord help us. Grant us the grace. Shall we stand up, please? And begin to lift up our voice to God. And travail, begin to travail. I pray that the Spirit of God will bring unto Emmanuel Church the spirit of prayer. That all of us will begin to see that we need to lift up our voice to God for God to do something. Don't keep quiet. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, don't keep quiet. This is not a time to keep quiet. It's a time to lift up our voice to God and say, God, come into the situation. Whatever situation you have here this morning, tell God to come into it. We are here as a church. God to give his glory and might and power. Lift up your voice to God and begin to pray and begin to pray and begin to pray. And lift up your voice and say, God, whatever situation you find yourself, the Lord God Almighty is here. The anointing and the favor and the might and power of God is here to release you into his real grace to be able. The giftings inside you. Begin to lift up your voice to God. If there are anything in you that needs to go, begin to proclaim the name of Jesus and command it to go. Because that is the name. That is the name that is above all names. The name at the mention of which the demons tremble and they flee. The name that captivates, that charms our fears. If there are fears in our life, begin to pray in Jesus' name. Cast out that fear. Cast it out. Cast it out in Jesus' name. Lift up your voice to God. By the power in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, mighty God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, let anointing. There is fresh fire for you if you lift up your voice to God. Fresh fire, fresh anointing of the Spirit of God upon our lives. Fresh anointing from above. Fresh favor from above. The glory of God upon our lives. In Jesus' name. This is not a time to keep quiet. It's a time to lift up our voice to God. It's a time for the glory of God to descend. It's a time for the might of God to come down. Jesus is in the midst of his church. And his powerful is almighty. Oh, precious name. Oh, precious Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, precious Lord. Precious Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. Our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for Emmanuel Church. You brought us this far by your grace, by your favor. You've been so good to us. You've shown that, Lord, you are a faithful God. You've been faithful to Emmanuel. And we bless your name for everything that you've done. Father, this morning, Lord, you call your people to a time of prayer, a time of travailing to birth people into the kingdom, a time of travailing to birth good things into the church. Yes. So I pray for everybody. I pray for Emmanuel Church, Lord, amen, that your glory will shine, the power of God will come down, the favor of God will come down, Lord. Father, if there are people here who are weak, strengthen each and every one of us, Lord. And I pray, God, that your favor will come down. Heal the sickness in our bodies. If people are suffering from their bodies, I proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ your healing power to touch them. Because we are healed by the blood. Jesus' name. Let it be confirmed. Give us testimonies in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.